Genesis 6, 1 through 2. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves from all who they chose. There's a teaching out there, and it's very popular. It's the reason that God destroyed that ancient world is because that fallen angels were mating with women. And the giants that came afterwards and the stuff that was happening, that God had to destroy that world to cleanse it. Does that teaching really matter? I think we're going to see at the end of the study that it really does. It does matter. And a lot of people, they hear stories, and this was of the ancient world, so who cares, right? I mean, we want to know about God. We want to understand things. We want to grow, and we want to build on the right foundation. Nobody wants to put a primer sealer on their cabinets and then paint their cabinets, think, wow, that looks nice, and then you go to shut the door one day, and it hits, and the paint just falls off because the primer didn't stick. You didn't prepare the surface. You didn't prepare your heart. You didn't prepare your foundation. You didn't prepare your knowledge. We want to know the truth, don't we? We want to understand why God did this. And so, this is just, a lot of times people will tell you one thing and that's all you hear and you won't hear anything else. And you think, well, okay, that sounds about right, or I can go with that. But if someone out there gives you some points to say, look, let's go back to Scripture and take a look at what Scripture says. Because that's what a lot of people don't do. They just think what sounds right to them, they talk about it and they lay it out there. But I want to give someone a perspective from Scripture on what God was talking about here. When you look at a statement, one of the things that you need to understand is context. So you need to look to see, and sometimes you got to back up and sometimes you got to go forward. Who was told to multiply on the face of the earth? Adam and Eve were. They were told to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And so by doing this, we see that sons and daughters were born to them. And what throws them is the term sons of God and the daughters of men. Do you know that God always, when He talked about the foreign women that led to foreign gods and served them, and He warned Israel. Now this was a long way from the formation of the nation of Israel, but we did have a separation between the line of Seth and the line of Cain. And you can see that later on, because even in the New Testament it said they went in the way they went in the way of Cain. They went in Balaam. That's the name I was trying to think of. They went in the way of Balaam greedily after things. And so we see that Cain's descendants didn't call upon the name of the Lord. We see that from Seth when he replaced Abel, that with Seth's son, they began to call upon the name of the Lord. Okay, so we see a separation between those that served God and those that didn't. And so the sons of God and daughters of men, if you were called a son of God, then certainly you would have been considered one of the faithful, and daughters of men would have been the things that lured you away. It says that they were beautiful and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. So you don't think that the line of Seth started to take daughters from the line of Cain. And so when God said, be careful about Christians, that we shouldn't be unequally yoked, do you think that's just a concept that He came up with in the New Testament? Or do you think that's how He always felt? That we shouldn't be unequally yoked. We shouldn't be a follower of God and get with somebody who doesn't care anything about God. But when it comes to women, men don't think straight. And a lot of times when it comes to men, women don't think straight. That's just what happens. And so this was going on, but the context here was procreation and who's doing it. The sons of God and the daughters of men, and they were being born to them. And so Adam and Eve were told to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and this is simply what they were doing. Genesis 6, 4, there were giants on the earth in those days also and afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Now, I want us to understand something. The context here that people say is what happened is the fallen angels were the sons of God, and they were coming into the daughters of men, and they were having these spiritually born freakish giants that were like 9 feet tall. Now, that's not what was happening. And I'm going to prove that a little bit later, but I only have two slides. These mighty men were of old men of renown. They use the word men. It means the word men. These giants were men. And the sons of God there, we'll see that term here in a little while, but the sons of God there were not the fallen angels. The sons of God there were the obedient. And we'll see that in a little while. But children were being born to these people. And so some teach this is why God brought the flood on the world, since this account came right before we see the flood in Scripture. So when you see a flood and they talk about wickedness and they talk about these giants, and it only makes sense that when you try to keep it in context, that what was going on here is what aggravated God. And you know what? It was. But it wasn't angels procreating with women. It was men and women getting together and caring more about each other and not God. Jesus told us that later. We'll see that too. So what was going on here did create problems. But these giants were called men, and they were men. He uses the term twice. They were men of renown, men of mighty men. And in the days the giants were on earth in those days and also afterward. We're going to see after the flood that if God wiped away the ancient world because this was going on, we're going to see giants that are talked about here after the flood. So evidently God didn't do His job. That would happen. He was going to get rid of the horrible creations of man, of woman mating with angels, and yet it happened again. So what God did wasn't effective. The devil kind of won out on that one. God wasn't able to stop him, right? Come on in. It's never mind there. And so we're taught, and people are taught, that these were half-breeds. They were celestial giant half-breeds. That's a lie. Do you want to believe in a lie? Do you think God wants you to believe in a lie? These teachings matter. And so, you know, some of these teachings get people so wrapped up that this is their foundation. They go back. It was like the circumcision with the Jews. The Jews could believe in Christ. They saw the risen Christ, but they just couldn't get away from that physical circumcision. Do you know that this lie has some people tied up in knots and they can't get away from this? And it changes how they see everything in Scripture. But if you go to Numbers 13:33, remember when it says that in those days and also afterwards, Numbers 13:33, this was after the flood. This was after the flood. There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Those giants were men just like those giants were. These giants that they talked about here were descendants of Anak. And he came from giants. He came from big people. Well, if God got rid of that ancient world because procreation happened between women and angels and created giants, and He did away with all of that, why do we see it again in Numbers? Why do we see that the giants were called the descendants of Anak? Was Anak an angel? No, it was a lineage of men. But see, this isn't taught to people. Because God is God, and God can work magic, and God can change shapes, and spiritual beings can fight wars, and we can see them walking among us. And this is Hollywood, and it makes us feel all great to know that we're a part of this wonderful theatrical thing that's playing out before our eyes. That angels are coming and fighting, and we see them, and they protect us, and they've got swords, and they've got wings. And we want to believe this, because this is fairly entertaining. God didn't write the Bible. God did not condemn souls because these people didn't condemn their own souls before God because it was entertaining. Adam and Eve were lied to. And they chose to believe the lie rather than the truth of God. So I'm here to tell you that the teachings on these things matter. So this is just a little small part of something that we could put out there so people can hear and know the truth. Because they're not hearing it. This is what they're hearing. But we're going to prove that that's wrong. One of the things that proves that kicks out a foundation is that God flooded the old world to get rid of it, but it still was going on. And they weren't angels, they were descendants of men. Look it up. Spend a little time and do a little research. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. If the giants were wiped away, how did the descendants of Anak come from those giants? You know, Goliath was one of those mighty men that came afterwards. Was his father a fallen angel? Now remember, I want us to understand this. The sons of God came into the daughters of men and produced these giants. And we're going to see that fallen angels were not called the sons of God. We're going to see that. So here we see that the flood didn't do away with what they said. And then we're going to see here in a minute that the sons of God were not called, the fallen angels were not called sons of God. This should be enough to knock out the foundations, the pillars that hold up this lie. And it's not my fault. This is what God says. We've got to bring it back to Scripture and let Scripture interpret Scripture. You see, the giants were not celestial half-breeds, but descendants of a man. And after the flood, they still inhabited Jericho. But at the end of this study, we're going to see the real danger to believing this teaching. Because, you know, honestly, This is learned. You have to spend time in Scripture. You have to let God's Word mold your mind and teach you. You have to do this. And so here, we have to let these things teach us. And it's okay in the beginning as a child when we're growing if we think of things like this and we believe things like this. We have to let Scriptures form our mind to show us that we were wrong. We have to renew our minds to think the way God wants us to think, not the way that men tell us to think. Matthew 24:38, "For as in the days before the flood," remember that? The days before the flood, the things that were going on, God was mad because angels were mating with women and producing giants. That's what you're told. But here Jesus says that in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Why didn't he mention anything about the angels? Did Jesus not know? Did Jesus not want to tell you because that was the character of Jesus, not to tell you the truth? Why didn't he mention the angels here? If this is why, when we go back in the days of Noah and we read those few verses and then we see God getting mad and we see the sons of God coming into the daughters of men and producing these giants. And it says right here that in the days of the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Who? People. Not angels. People. They were marrying and giving in marriage. And that's what you read in Genesis 6 when it says that the sons of God and the daughters of men, it was the faithful of God intermingling with the world, and the result was is at the end of the day, nobody cared about God. Nobody believed in Noah. Nobody believed in the flood. Nobody believed in the ark. And they paid a price. Now Noah and his family, they believed. 8 souls got on that ark. 8 souls. Were they the only ones that weren't sleeping with angels? No, it tells you they had become numb. They were just living life and they had no care for God. And that's what Genesis 6 was telling us. That the faithful of God were being lured away by the daughters of men because of their beauty. And they were creating a world that didn't care about God. And you say, well, gosh, that'd be pretty weird. Look around us. Look around us. How many in your neighborhood even get up to go to a congregation? And God help us if we go to just somebody that just teaches, open the Bible and teaches whatever, teaches this kind of stuff, and that's where people are going, and they're hearing lies. So I mean, look around. In your neighborhood, how many people do even get up to take a chance to look into their soul? This is the only day they have, they say. The only day. But this tells us, as in the days before the flood, that goes directly back to Genesis chapter 6, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. Okay? And he doesn't mention anything about angels mating with women. He just says that they were marrying, eating and drinking, and giving in marriage. They were just living their life. And while Noah was spending his life building the boat to prepare for the judgment of God coming, what were they doing? Not caring what Noah was doing. And the Bible says that Noah preached to them. The Bible says he was a righteous man. You know what made him a righteous man? Because he believed God. He trusted Him. It said in his days he was a righteous man. Now, by our standards, probably he wouldn't have been. But in that day, what God expected of him was to build a boat. And Noah did that. You know what God expected of the rest of the people? To get on that boat. They didn't. Because they were too busy with their life. You see, the evil was not angels and women, but everyone, the content was life without God. Remember, only eight got on the ark. And we can see that. This passage, and you read before and after, just kind of read the context here a little bit, and you'll see just in this one verse alone that it goes back to Genesis chapter 6. Those were the days before the flood. And it wasn't the angels that was making God mad. It was because there was no Armageddon. There was no world was bloodthirsty people like we see in Sodom and Gomorrah, where there was hatred and there was debauchery and all this stuff going on. They brought that out in Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't they? Why don't you think they would have brought it out here? He told you the reason. These were just life. Life without God. Matthew 22:30, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven." So you look at 22, that's before Matthew 24. So this leads up to the context of what was going on there. And he says that the angels don't marry or given in marriage. You know why? Do you know what marriage was for? Angels don't reproduce. Marriage is the only covenant that we ever see that God ordains for reproduction. He brought the two in the garden. He put them together and he told them that they would become one flesh. They would leave their mother and father and that they would cleave. He was talking about reproduction. And that when you go back, when Jesus goes back to the garden, when they talk about marriage and divorce, he said it wasn't that way from the garden. You don't see in Genesis it called a marriage, but you see Jesus call it a marriage. And the reason he did that, he tells you, is because they would become one flesh and that they would produce children. And that's what he told them in Genesis 2, at the end of 2, or end of 1, I think. He said, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." Do we see how all this stuff comes together? It's not hard. But it's spiritually discerned. That means that the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, has to show you what it means. Marriage is the only covenant we ever see that God ordains for reproductions. And He told us that the angels in heaven do not marry or give into marriage because the angels do not reproduce. Even the church is called the bride of Christ. You see how God sees that? The covenant of marriage. Us being called the bride of Christ. We're in a covenant with God. The angels are not have access to that covenant. The angels do not reproduce. The angels are not like us. But He tells us in the resurrection, something changes. And that shows us that in the new heaven and new earth, one of the things that will be different from when we were in the garden is, guess what? We will have no reproduction. There'll be no need to. But he tells it clearly here that the angels in heaven do not reproduce. How does that fit in with the angels mating with women? It doesn't, does it? Job 1 through 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Do you remember when we read Genesis 6 and it says the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they tell you that this was fallen angels? Look who's not called a son of God here. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also come among them. Who's the them? The sons of God. He came in among the sons of God. Do you know why he wasn't called a son of God? Did God not create the angels? The sons of God do not refer to the creation. The sons of God refer to those who are obedient to God. Now, Satan is under the control. Satan, he had to ask God. We see in Job that he asked. And we see when Jesus said, Satan asked Peter that he could sift you as wheat. That's not what I'm talking about. Satan was obedient because he had no choice. God had control. But we are obedient because we choose to be obedient. Satan chose not to be obedient. That's why we don't see him called the sons of God. He came in among the sons of God. So when you go back and you look at that passage in Genesis where it says the sons of God came to the daughters of men, that shows us, because this is same wording here in Job, Old Testament book, Genesis, Old Testament book, you see that Satan was not called a son of God. He came in among them. So in Genesis, when it says sons of God and daughters of men, it simply means those who obeyed God and those who did not. And if you back up further in Genesis, go to the end of chapter 4, I believe, going into chapter 5, you will see a separation between the line of Cain and the line of Seth. Christ came through the line of Seth, not through the line of Cain. So when it says sons of God and daughters of men, he's simply showing that separation that he's already shown you. Now, we're about ready to finish, and we see, why does this teaching really matter? What difference does it really make if I choose to believe that angels had sex with women and they produced these freakishly large offsprings called giants? Why does it matter? Why can't you believe what you want to believe and I believe what I want to believe? Well, in the first place, truth can't be that way. You know what? It's either my car or it's your car. It is not ours. It is either my house or it is your house. It is not ours. Here's why it matters. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. Do you know what happened here? The Holy Spirit of God overshadowed Mary. Her ear that she was going to bear the Son of God. This was the only time by the power of God that we will ever see a spirit bring forth a child. The fallen angels didn't do this. The devil didn't do this. God did this. And He did this one time for one reason. If we believe that the angels produced offsprings, fallen angels produced offsprings from women, it would take away the importance of this sign of Jesus being the promised Redeemer. He says that a virgin, I will give. The Lord Himself says, I will give you a sign. Well, if other people could do it, how do we know it came from God? Do you know why this was a sign from God? Because nobody could do this except for God. Even the Pharisees who hated Jesus because they brought attention to people's conscience in their heart and they took away their place and their seats of authority, even they came to Him and said, "Teacher, we know that the signs that are done by you could only be done by God. If other people could duplicate this, it wouldn't have been a sign from God that Jesus was the promised Redeemer." And so when you take this teaching about the angels and you say, "Well, what does it matter? Why can't I believe it? I believe it's true and I'm just going to hold on to it." If you do that, you take away a promise that God has given you. You take away proof of who Christ was. One of the things. Do you think that matters? Then when we start messing with the divinity of Christ? Yeah, I think that matters. Now, this is not a hill that I would die on. If you have someone that doesn't understand this, they have to be taught. God has to teach them. You know what? I can't change your heart. No matter how hard I try, I can't. I can't get you to see the truth. You have to see it. God's Word is able to get you to see the truth. But you got to trust in God's Word. Don't trust in me. I'm a failure. Don't trust in me. I come to the same Redeemer that y'all come to. You trust in this Word. And if I can't show you this in the Word, and I just, when it comes down to it, these people that believe this, they've got to show me where I'm wrong in this. They've got to show me where God didn't put this together the way that He did. And you know what? They can't. You know what people like that do? They shut the Bible. They shut the Word of truth and they start telling you what they want you to hear. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he said to the nation of Israel, he told them the truth, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sin." He told them that. Because he wanted the foundation of trust in Christ to start out with the truth. And I'm here to tell you, if Jesus, in Matthew 24 that we read in verse 38, if the flood came upon the world because of angels mating, He would have told you that. Peter did not spare the feelings of those Israelites. He told them the truth. And he learned that from Jesus. Because Jesus did not keep anything hidden. He said, "What I tell you in secret will be shouted from the rooftops." Why? Because a lie does not need to be kept. I mean, the truth does not need to be kept quiet. A lie does. And so, if it would have been about the angels, He would have told them why the flood came upon the earth. The flood didn't come upon the earth because they were marrying. God already told them to be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth, didn't He? That wasn't the problem. The problem was their covenant coming together and they were dismissing God from that. See, this shows us here that God recognizes all marriages because a marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman and God. But they don't acknowledge the covenant with God. They only acknowledge the covenant with themselves. So if Peter told us the truth and he learned that from Christ and Christ told us the truth, then we can certainly trust Scripture and not trust men. How do you grow people? Things like this. Your thoughts, your mind, your heart has to be challenged. We have to push. We have to push. We have to push. We have to grow. Teachings like this stumble people and they cause them not to grow. They cause complacency. Because they don't transform our mind into thinking like God. They just keep our mind centered around the will of men. So when Peter stood up and told them the truth like he learned from Jesus, people had to make a decision in the same way that we do. So when you tell people the truth, sometimes they'll accept it and sometimes they'll reject it. But the one thing for sure is, at least you told them the truth. And then when God says, you couldn't have at least told them the truth, you said, I told them, Lord, but they didn't listen. Maybe I just didn't tell them right. That's possible too. We can come with a hateful spirit. But I don't believe Jesus, when he was teaching and when he was talking, that he was coming with a hateful spirit, was he? He was telling them the truth. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?